Welcome to How Can Race Affect Your Team, Your Recruiting, and Your Campus. I now have the pleasure of introducing today's speakers, Jen Fry at Duke University and Jennifer Jacobs, Assistant Coach and Assistant Athletic Director at Augsburg University. Their complete biographical information can be found in the convention app. Please join me in welcoming Jen and Jennifer.
How are we doing today? Good. Okay, well, we want to thank you for coming. We completely understand race is such a touchy subject, especially now after election. It's completely touchy, and so we appreciate you coming. So right now, we're going to kind of talk about some ground rules that we're going to go over in terms of talking about race in this setting. Okay. So the first thing that we need to understand is that it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be super uncomfortable, and we're going to have to lean into that uncomfortable conversation, because kind of one of our goals is to help you start facilitating the conversation with your team, either if it's club or college. And so if you can't get used to the uncomfortable discussion now, it's going to be really tough for you to have it with your team. So we want you to really lean into this kind of discomfort. And, you know, if you have questions, raise your hand, talk to people, but just really lean in, be open to it. You know, we always tell our team, get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? That's our favorite slogan. You just have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Well, we expect the same thing of you. Model what you're telling your players. The next thing is you're going to be open to different definitions. As we know, there are a million definitions for every word. Race, racism, all those things. So just be open to it and understand it. And look up your own definitions if you want to. If that doesn't make sense to you, that's fine. Come and talk to us. Talk to other people. But we just ask that you're open to these definitions. The next thing is be open to not knowing. Okay, you are not going to leave this being a professional facilitator in race and diversity. You're probably not going to be, and that's okay. But you just have to be open to not knowing and helping yourself find the information that you need. The next thing is be open to sharing. If you don't know something, that's fine. If you're kind of asking about, well, this is what I think about race, we're fine with that. So be open to sharing what you know and even what you don't know. The next thing is oops and ouch. So as we said, this is a touchy subject. So there are going to be times where you might say something that's a little crazy. So don't be afraid to say, oops, I made a mistake with that. Can I restate it? That's completely fine. Also, if somebody says something and you just say, ouch, and then explain why it hurts. Okay, we want this to be an open forum. We don't want people having drag out fights, but we want you to kind of follow oops and ouch to help facilitate that discussion. The next thing is, this is a safe space, as safe as it can be. Okay, we understand that it's being recorded, but we want you to kind of look at this as being a safe space and think about how you're going to take this information back to your team and how you're going to talk about it. So please don't be afraid to say something, okay? If you're talking, because you're going to actually talk to some folks about race. We're going to make it uncomfortable, okay? It's not going to just be us up here talking. You guys are going to start some discussion on your own, okay? So have it be kind of a safe space that you can talk with somebody. Okay, you're going to be talking to some people you don't know, okay? Remember, be open to being uncomfortable, okay? So now the next thing we're going to talk about is definitions with Jen.
Yeah, there you go. Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right. So to get us kind of all on the same page a little bit, I want you guys to take a moment, take 2 minutes, to think of the word ethnicity, think of the word culture, and think of the word race. Those three words, think to yourself for a minute on the definition of those in your head, from whatever experiences you have, from wherever you come from. Ethnicity, culture, and race. Everybody got kind of an idea in their heads of how they would define those? Now talk to somebody next to you about what you think they are. Yep. And I know there's a whole Minnesota contingent back there that can talk. I'll give you guys a minute.
Turn to somebody you know. Wait, if you don't know them, introduce yourself. There, get over it. We expect to see you talking to at least one person.
All right, are we ready? Bring it back. Okay, so to get us all on the same page, I'm going to go ahead and pose this question as just thought out, and we can share out if you want to. How many pairs of people were talking, and there was an exact definition of all those words that you feel very confident in? Did anybody in the room have that? No. Thank you. It's usually what happens. Usually those words are interchangeably used, but they mean very different things. So we're going to go to the first one, ethnicity. Now, these are based out of the dictionary and the IDI, which is the Intercultural Development Inventory, which is something that you can see me later about, but it's a validated inventory that is across cultures, validated, I guess. So ethnicity essentially is based on location. Okay, it is what is behind us, where we're from. It's a carrier of culture. Polish, Irish, Sudanese. It's your ancestry. It's a family of origin. It is geographically minded. Ethnicity is. Does that make sense to folks? Any questions there? Okay. Next one, culture. Culture are the values and beliefs and systems and music and dance and songs that that are connected to ethnicity, but doesn't necessarily mean geographic region, okay? There are two pieces of culture. Culture, if you think of an iceberg, visually an iceberg, top of the iceberg is a third, bottom of the iceberg underneath the water is two-thirds. Objective culture on the top that you see all the time are like songs, dance, people, what people wear, how people do art, the holidays, all that stuff that you see on top of the iceberg, okay? That's what most people think of when they think of culture. Below the iceberg is a subjective piece. That's the patterns, the values, beliefs, the perceptions, the behavior learned from one's group. That gets carried on through time, through the passage of time, amongst people, amongst groups of people. Okay? Culture is also, excuse me, if you think of like practices, so like marriage practices, there are things around in the subject of culture like arranged marriages, right? That's not something you see as much, but it's underneath the surface. Okay, and it's very different from culture to culture. Does that make sense? Any questions there? Okay, next slide. Okay, I want you guys to read this quote. It's from a professor of law at University of Iowa, and then I'll read it for you. Race is not biological. It is a social construct. There is no gene or cluster of genes common to all blacks or all whites or other races. Were race real in the genetic sense, racial classifications for individuals will remain constant across boundaries. So I want you to think of that idea and that concept that race is a social construct. Ethnicity and culture, those are actual things. They actually have a connection to our past, right? Race is a social construct that literally was made up. And if I can think of the book by the end of this presentation, I'll let you know, because there actually has been research that has traced it back to where race, the concept, was like came into being.
1640 with John Putnam.
Oh, there you go.
So race came to play.
You hear me? Yeah. Race came to play starting in 1640 with a gentleman named John Punch. Essentially, you had a black slave and a white indentured servant who were trying to run away together. And when they were caught, they realized they need to have some type of disconnect, because they knew essentially if they kept going together, it would be larger than the plantation owner. So pretty much what they did was they gave John Punch, the black slave, a way bigger punishment than the white slave. And they even gave the white or indentured servant, excuse me, they even... So they even made a punishment. They said, if we catch you going with a black person, your punishment would be even bigger. So they essentially tried to get that barrier between them by not only giving the black slave a bigger punishment, but giving the white indentured servant a way bigger punishment if he thought about going with another black slave. So that's where you start to see in legislation and literature of the actual social construct of race was with John Punch in 1640.
There you go. So if you think about race being the social construct, think about buckets. If we were all be buckets, there's this white bucket. And white bucket, it's Polish, there's Irish, there's whoever else can be considered as white, right? By doing that, you take away all the history that comes back, the ethnicity and all of that that comes with us, the culture, and now people are all labeled white in this bucket. And then there's this black bucket, this race black that doesn't really exist, you know, just white essentially. And all of the possible cultures and ethnicities that could fall into that bucket is black, okay? And then you think of the Asian cultures and think of that Asian race. You think of the boxes that you check when you, like, sign those, any kind of form. All of the histories and the cultures that could be into the Asian bucket. And think about what that actually wipes away when we're placing people in these race buckets. And the issue becomes around racism, which is the next slide, the racism piece comes in when we place value on those different buckets. So not only are we wiping away people's histories and cultures and ethnicities and ways of thinking and values and practices by placing people in these buckets of race that is socially constructed, we're also then placing values on those different buckets. And that's where racism comes in, the belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an intense superiority of a particular race. Does that make sense for folks? I'm not saying, and we're not saying, that race is a bad thing, but the concept that race is socially constructed, and it's really erasing a lot of what people bring to the table. And there's actual meanings that implications that happen to people. There's experiences that happen to people based on race, based on this socially constructed concept. Here's just some clippings of the past month, honestly, of racial things that have happened around. And I just literally pulled them from the internet. You talk about the athletes kneeling for social justice issues. You talk about people being arrested around protesting and the outbursts around the election, that kind of thing. Race is very front and center in our society right now, yet it's a socially constructed concept. Go to the next slide, thank you. So here's some impact of racism. Okay, 1 in 3 black men in America can expect to go to prison in their lifetime. Think about that. Think of that, that race is a socially constructed concept, literally made up, erasing all of the culture and ethnicities and info and everything that people can bring to the table. And it is actually having an impact on people going to prison in their lifetime. 1 in 3 black men going to prison in a lifetime. That isn't, that stat like blows my mind. Or the white-black gap in math and reading scores in 2013 was 30 points. So it has educational implications. It has healthcare implications. Race has housing implications on folks. And so just thinking about how that social construct of race can really affect how people experience the world. Is that making sense? I know it's heavy, but it's something that is just really poignant for us to think about. Okay, next slide. So when you think about race, so we know that people perform to the best of their ability when they can bring their full selves to the table. If I'm an athlete and I identify with a certain culture or ethnicity, I want to be able to bring that self to the table, to the team, to the university, to my friends, to my colleagues. But then knowing that we have this social construct of race that's also placed on me. I'm just going to use the example of a black male. Let's say this person is Sudanese, so that's his ethnicity, comes to a team, comes to America, comes to the team. He's got this thing of black on him, this social construct of black. So there's a whole set of experiences that he has being this socially constructed black person. But he's also Sudanese, and there's all these like values and traditions that come with being Sudanese. And now he's coming to this team. And what happens a lot of times is we see people in the buckets. We just see people in the black, in the white, in the Asian spaces, and so we're not seeing these people who they really are and what they bring to the table. And if that person, if that student-athlete can't bring their full selves to the table with all the experiences they experience with the socially constructed concept and they're also their ethnicity, we're not going to get the best out of them as athletes. Does that make sense for folks? And it's not just athletes, it's coaches, it's staff, it's friends, it's colleagues. We're not going to get our best self. If I can't bring my best self to the table, if I have to hide a piece of myself, you're not going to get the best out of me. So we as coaches need to be cognizant, sensitive, and open and accepting of this. I think you're on.
Hey, this is heavy. I
like it. Okay, so now we're going to get up. We're going to do some uncomfortable stuff, okay? So now, talking about race relations within your staff, with your team, okay? How many people know a black person? Raise your hand. Okay, I hope so. I hope. How many people know Asian? How many people know Hispanic? Okay, so we know so many different people, okay? And so we have our staff, so we have to get more comfortable with talking about this, okay? So now, here is what you're going to do. You're going to get up, and you're going to go and find someone you did not talk to and you do not know. Okay, I know it's a small world, but you do not know people, okay? And you're going to talk about how race has been affecting you within the last year, decade, or whenever. Okay? So if I was going to talk to someone, I would say, you know, as a black female, race is hitting me pretty hard. It's hit me having a white mom. It's hit me pretty hard just being a black person in general with tattoos and what people perceive me to be. Right now, it scares me being in North Carolina with the KKK rally being 45 minutes from my house. It scares me with having Southern Pride rallies down the street from where I live. So race really affects me. So now, remember that whole part of being open to being uncomfortable? This is it. Okay? So you're going to go talk to somebody you don't know and talk about how race has affected you. And you can be blunt, honest, and say, you know what? As a white man or white female, it really hadn't hit me till X, Y, and Z. So don't be afraid to say that. We want you to say that so you can feel that uncomfortableness that your players or your staff might be feeling. So go find someone you don't know. You have about 2 minutes, and you're going to introduce yourself and talk about how race has affected you. Okay? Huh? Okay, bring it back. You guys are going to have more time, I promise you. You are going to have more time to have conversation, okay? I swear. Are we ready? Okay. Yeah, you can just sit where you're at. You're going to move again. Y'all going to move again. Okay. So, was that uncomfortable? Raise your hand. Like, what did we say? Was it comfortable, comfortable? What made it comfortable?
I think we're all prepared for it to be uncomfortable.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good. What else? Yep, yep. Okay, what else? Did anything make, yes?
I think we all have, like, the commonality of coaching, mm-hmm. So it's not, like, super complete
strangers. Okay, yep, that makes sense. That makes, I talk a lot with strangers about race, so I know I'm comfortable, trust me. Okay. So now, do you feel like maybe it changed if you were talking to a person of color and you feel like you didn't have those experiences? Does that make sense? Does anyone feel like, well, you know, I really haven't had any racial experiences and I'm talking to a person of color? Do you feel like that maybe was a little tougher? Maybe no, yes?
I felt like even talking to somebody that was the same race, I found myself really trying to choose my words very carefully so that I didn't trip myself up and have to oops anything. And I don't know that maybe it did matter, but my partner was not African American and talking about those issues. But I did feel like I was on high alert every word that I chose, kind of like I am right now.
And I'm done. Well, and the thing is you're going to make mistakes. I know as coaches, we were like, I am not going to make a mistake. I'm going to choose every politically correct word there is. You're going to make mistakes, and that's why we want to get you feeling how you are, so that when you start this dialogue with your staff, with your team, you kind of feel how it is. And like, look, I was in that same situation, and this is what I did to kind of help myself. So talk, and of course, don't say anything completely out the realm. But if you have questions about what do you like to be called, black, African American, do you like to be called it? Ask those questions. Don't be afraid, because it might surprise you their answers. Okay, so now we're going to think about from an administration level. Okay, we're going to talk about do you feel comfortable talking to your administration? Do you feel comfortable talking to your SWA? If you are an assistant, do you feel comfortable talking to your head coach? What do we think? Where's that level of comfortability? You get it. Okay, do we feel comfortable talking to our admins?
About race?
No. Okay.
I think it goes, like, you're comfortable one up. Your assistant, probably the head. You're the head, maybe the SWA. It's like, it's that issue of going maybe one more.
Okay.
And that probably gets a little uncomfortable. You have that closer dialogue with the one that's more up.
Okay. Anybody else? What about with your head coach? Are you guys comfortable with your head coach? And if your head coach is in the room, like, give me a wink. I'll recognize that. Okay? But, okay, so you're comfortable with that. What about your SWA? What about your SWA? Are you comfortable talking about race? Yeah. You're a senior women's administrator. Be comfortable? Maybe if we had to. We're not sure. Okay? So now, something we have to think about. Okay, we are either recruiting or coaching people of color. We are. So things we have to think about. Are you staying decently up on current events racially? Okay? And we're not saying you have to check NPR all the time and see what's going on, but are you staying up to, on current events? Now, we think about it. At your school, are you guys paying attention to what's happening at your school? Yes, no, maybe so. Anybody? We are? Okay. What about your city? Are you staying up on current events within your city? Okay, and these are things you need to really think about. Okay. What about in your country? Okay, are you staying up on current events racially within your country? Okay, these are such important things you have to think about. Okay, and we understand you're going to say, look, I treat my team all the same. Okay, when they're on that court, it's all about playing time. Are you producing? Okay, but you need to understand, once they leave that gym, this color matters. And it might not matter to you, and that's fine, but it's going to matter to a lot of people that really will affect their lives. Okay, so these events, especially within your school, you need to be paying attention to. Okay, you need to be able to talk to when you're playing, be like, hey, I heard this happen. Are you okay? Okay, those things are just very important. Okay, so now something to think about. Okay, you have students of color. You might not be one, or you might. It just depends. Now, are you comfortable talking to your faculty? Or excuse me, do you know a faculty, staff, or administrator that as a student of color can reach out to? Do you have an academic advisor that is maybe Asian, and you have an Asian student, and you're like, oh, this would be a perfect person? Okay. What about a Latino? Do you have someone that you can reach out for them so that they have someone that looks like them? Because that's important. Someone that looks like them that they can reach out to. So now, do you know about the anti-bias reporting system? Do we even know what that is? Anyone raise your hand if you don't know what that is. Okay. So pretty much every university should have an anti-bias reporting system. And this is essentially if there's any type of racial, sexual harassment, any type of situation that happens on campus, that there's something that they can log into and either do it anonymously or put their information if they want to. And this is very important that they know how to do it. Okay. At a prior school I was at, we always had a truck that used to drive through with the Confederate flag yelling racial stuff. Okay? What kids would do with their anti-bias system is they'd take a picture of the license plate and then send a report. Okay? So if anything happens, they have this anti-bias system that they can do. Okay? Next slide. Okay, so now, let's think of some stuff. How comfortable are we talking to our team about race? Why or why not?
Uncomfortable.
Why?
Because they're mostly white.
Okay. Why? Explain a little more.
You can't say because Jen's not there.
It's true. It would be so much easier. It's uncomfortable because we're white people talking to white people.
Okay.
Other minorities.
Okay, that aren't in the room.
Yeah. Well, no, that aren't in the room. To me, it would be easier if we could talk to them.
Okay.
But if we're sitting in a room talking about them, it feels worse.
Okay. What else?
I say it's uncomfortable because I don't necessarily want to create tension if there's not something there. Like, if it's not something they're thinking about,
now, do you have players of color on your team?
Yes.
So your assumption is that your players of color are okay with what's going on outside of that world. Does that make sense? So if you're saying, well, the team is meshing well, they're doing great, I don't want to disrupt the flow, that's with the assumption that there's already not disruptors happening outside their lives. So when I was at university, I did a focus group for student athletes. And I will be completely honest, I thought our black athletes were completely away from racism. Like, I was like, that doesn't even affect them. And my mind was blown with some of the stuff that was said. Okay? And the reason why I felt this was so important was because there was a black football player. He said that he was walking up with some friends to go to a party, and he heard some of the people at the party yell, "Don't let those ends in." Can you imagine if that was with recruits? Can you imagine if he was walking up with some football recruits, and they heard, "Don't let those ends in"? You think that person's going to that school? Do you think he probably told his coach? No. Because all he said to his friends was like, we just won't go there. And so that's what happens, is that they're like, well, we're just not going to go to those parties. And you don't find out. And you potentially lose out on a recruit who loved the school, loved you, and you're like, what happened? Everything was great. But hearing "don't let those ends in" are probably going to change your opinion. Okay, so that's why it's so important that we talk about it, because we don't know what's disrupting them on the outskirts, outside their team, that they're not telling people, because they're afraid to talk about race to their white teammates, or they're afraid to talk to their coaches. That's why it's just so important.
And I just want to add something on that. So we talked about bringing your full self to the table. So race is affecting people all the time, constantly and consistently, even if you think you're not affected by race. It's always affecting us, and it's affecting our student-athletes, too. And if they can't bring their full selves to the table, if we can't create that safe space for them to talk about it as a team, within the team, how whatever is going on out here affecting them or things within the team, I have many similar experiences. We had a football team that had some racial tension issues within the football team. Wasn't discussed about until we started pulling the information out. So just knowing that being able to talk about it is allowing people to bring their full selves to the table, because their experiences do matter.
Yeah, it's so important. You don't know until the last thing you want to do is be that school that's on the news because of a racial issue that you had no clue about. That's the last thing. And you're like, but I treat everyone the same. Why didn't she tell me? Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but if you open that door, at least they're going to come in and be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And we're going further into stuff that can help you, but it's about opening that door and say, hey, as a white man, a white woman, a black person, whoever, I am comfortable at least opening that door so that you know that I'm there for you. Okay, so now you're going to find a different person, and you're going to talk about your school, how you felt they have dealt with racial issues. Does that make sense? You're going to find, and even if you're like, well, I don't know, but I heard maybe they might do this, or they might do that, or this is how my administration, I think they do it, okay? Because you don't know what the person you're talking to, they might say, well, actually, we had something like this, and this is how it was dealt with. Because you never know when you might need that nugget of information to help yourself. Okay, so find a different person. You're going to talk about how race is being worked on at your school and how you felt, okay, when they're dealing with those issues, okay? Find a person, introduce yourself, shake hands. Okay, let's bring it on back. Okay, up here. You guys are having phenomenal discussion, and I love this. I love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, so now we're going to talk about race and recruiting. Okay, as we know, people of color are a very small minority of recruiting. We understand that. Okay, so now when you are recruiting these students of color, are you, especially to predominantly white schools, okay, are you considering culturally and racially where they come from? Okay, and what I mean from that is everyone wants that big black athlete like Inky, right? I mean, you see that 6'4 girl walking, you're like, I'm following you. I don't care. Well, I don't care what you can do. If you can do this, I can teach this. You know? So we understand that. But if you recruit this black athlete from a black school and a black city and a full black family to a predominantly white school, how do you think she's going to do? It's going to be tough. And you might not see it because you see her in the gym and she's blocking and she's kicking butt. And then she's going to this school that has 600 black kids and 6,000. And you don't understand how she's doing it all. Because you didn't consider where she came from. Okay? You're not considering that she's been around black people all her life, and now she's going to this predominantly white school, maybe upper class, very wealthy school. And how is she doing? Something you have to really think about when you recruit these black athletes, or these Hispanic athletes, or the Asian. You gotta think about where they're coming from, family-wise, city-wise, and what you're bringing to them. Okay? So yeah, like I said, black cities, black schools, you gotta keep in mind. Okay? Now when you're recruiting, do you talk about your school-wide diversity efforts? Okay? How many people know their school diversity strategic plan? Okay, we got like 1.5. I'll take that. Okay? So that's something that you need to know. You need to know what your school diversity plan is. Okay? That's huge so that when you're talking to these kids, you can tell them what exactly your school, yes, we are predominantly white, but this is what we are doing. We're trying to double this. We're trying to triple this. We're adding this cultural center. We're doing that. These are things that you have to talk to them about, and you have to know, because we have too much information to plead ignorance. We can't anymore. Okay? So now let's talk about cultural centers. How many of you guys know that you have cultural centers? Okay. Good job, baby Jesus. Thank gosh. Okay. How many people know where they are located on campus? Okay. I like this. Okay. How many people have been there, and not just like a flyby, but actually have been in there and like surveyed what they got? Okay? Okay? Good. Now, Do you have a general idea of who works in these centers? Do you know the director, assistant director, associate director? Do you know who works there? Do you know what ethnicity they are? Okay, so they got the Latino person, the Asian, the black. Do you know who works within this center? Okay. Do you know what resources are available to you within their center? Raise your hand if you know what resources are available. If there's speakers, it's a, like halfway a baby hand. Okay, we'll take baby hands now. Okay. Do you know facilitators, meeting rooms, speakers? Do we know that? Raise hand. Got some baby hands up, like some little ones. Okay. So this is important that you need to know. Okay, you need to know what is available. Because like I said, we're not trying to make you be professional facilitators here, but what we're trying to get you to do is know where to get the professionals at. So that when you're uncomfortable talking with your white team as a white lady about black people, you can go get a black person to talk to the white team from Black Voice. Okay? And so that's what we want, is that you find those black people, those Latino people to talk to your team. You find those professional people that have speakers. Okay? If you have meetings and you need meeting space, usually these cultural centers have a lot of meeting space. So that's a way to get kids to kind of get there and see it's okay. When I worked at Elon, I went from volleyball, I transitioned to the diversity center there, and there's a ton of meeting spaces there. So I would try and tell people, hey, come take a look, come and see what, where you can meet. If you don't have a meeting here, you can always come to the diversity, the Creed Center. There's a lot of great stuff going on. If you need to study, because how many people think the diversity centers are usually just for people of color? Raise your hand. Do you think they're for white folks? Yes? No? No? Well, they are. You can go there and study too. You can go there and be in clubs. You can do that. We don't want you thinking that this is only a space for people of color. We want you there because you're going to learn information to talk to people as well. So those are great places for people to go to learn about stuff. So you're not going to be the professional. These are the professionals. Get to know them. Okay, get to know them so that they can, and they might have great speakers they're bringing in that you would want your team to go and talk to. But you don't know what you don't know. Okay? Here's a question. How many of you guys tour your cultural centers on recruiting visits? Okay? Who else? Why not? Oh, we got one. Okay, why do you not tour them? You guys can throw some answers up. Huh?
It's not very nice.
The cultural center is not very nice? Okay. Okay, it's a little house. What else? Why do we not tour it?
It's somewhere where my current athletes spend a lot of time.
Okay. Okay. But you're on the assumption that they might not want to spend time there, in the cultural center.
I'm under the assumption that they don't currently spend time there.
Do they know about it?
I don't know.
Okay. So why else? Why don't we tour this? It makes them uncomfortable? Is it maybe you don't want to segregate and say, I'm only going to tour the black kids but not the white kids? Okay. But then tour everybody. Because you don't know who might... that the person you're recruiting might have a black adopted sister. And they're like, wow, they toured us over here? You don't know anybody's family dynamics at all. If you were to see my mom is this little white lady. You would never think that that's my mom. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. And if you see me, you're like, that's definitely not her mom. And so you don't assume that you know their family dynamics, because there might be people that have adopted a bunch of little black babies and they're like, we appreciate you taking us on this tour. And make it the norm. Don't make it this special thing like, here we have the cultural center. No. You go show them the academic village, just be like, and here's the cultural centers. This is LGBT. This is black. This is Latino. And just keep it as if this is a norm. That's the key, is make it a norm on your recruiting tours. You know, have your kids. How many of you guys have your kids give recruiting tours? A lot? You get them here and be like, okay, you have to give a tour of this center, because it's going to get them involved. Okay, so make it a norm with these cultural centers that it's a part. You're showing them the athletic training room, you're showing them the gym, you're showing them the locker room, you're showing them the cultural centers. Because race is that big of an issue. And if they know on the recruiting visit that they have protection, they're going to be good. So I was recruiting this transfer, and she's black, her mom's black, and her mom drilled me about race on campus. I mean, had me like going beads of sweat. Like, her mom, because she was like, you guys only have, like, because the school I was at, we had 300 black kids out of 6,000. So her mom was just, I mean, I thought I was, you know, under the Spanish Inquisition. But she was asking me very pointed questions that kids want to know and parents want to know. Especially black kids, or excuse me, black parents. They want to know that their kids are going to come and be helped. They're not going to be sitting there having racial issues. They want to know. And so luckily, I knew a lot about our cultural center that I was able to say, well, this is what we're doing. This is what we have. This is where they can go. So I had that information when she was asking me. So it's very important that you know. And then, do you have the staff within the cultural centers giving talks to your students in preseason? How many of you guys have the athletic trainer talking with your players before a season, in preseason? Raise your hand. Okay? What about compliance? Academic advisor? Director of the Black Center? Yes. Okay? Why not? And you don't have to have him give this huge, long talk. Literally, hi, my name is Jen Fry. I'm the associate director at this and this, and these are the services we offer. And that's it, so that they at least have a face and a name and know where to go. You know, in the Creed where I worked at, they had free printing. That's a huge thing. And that's why I'd be like, and we have free printing, just in case you need. And that gets them at least, that kind of gets them in. And so that's really important. At least they know what we have, so then they'll come in there and print. Maybe they'll come in to study. Maybe they'll come in and chat. Now they want maybe get involved with the club. So it's all about just helping them out in that type of situation. Okay? But just have the cultural centers have, just go and have a brief talk. Okay, so we have to think about race is important. It's affecting kids today. We just see it all over the news. So the thing you have to think about is how are you helping both your kids of color and then your white kids understand race so that they can talk about, be more comfortable. On the flip side, how are you going to make yourself more comfortable when talking about it? Because you're going to have to talk about it. The last thing you want to say is if a racial issue happens, you're like, nope, I'm not going to talk about it. And then this kid is kind of left out to dry who needs to talk about it, who needs to figure out, and then they're maybe transferring because they didn't feel that love. Okay, so we gotta get you guys just more comfortable talking about it and starting the conversation. And then when it gets to that point, you're like, tap out. So these are the facilitators I can lead you to. Okay, and so that's all we need you to do is be able to lead them to people or bring people in to talk to them or give them spaces to be comfortable and talk to show their true self. So now we're gonna just talk about some resources.
Before I get to the resources, she just made me think of something. The cultural centers piece, so if you think of diversity, do we have really diverse campuses here? By show of hands, like, what are we at, like 5% kids of color on campus, 10%? Anybody above 15%? Okay. Anybody above 25%? Really? Cornell is? Wow.
What?
I didn't know that. What was the other high? What was yours then?
I'm about to say, you don't count. You are HBCU.
Hey. But I will say, so are there still cultural centers on campus? Yes. Okay. Yes. Yep. So cultural centers were created or are created, so that safe space is there. And diversity is the mix. Okay. The word diversity stands for the mix of folks. Inclusion is the how that mix works together. Okay, the idea is that we want to get to an inclusive space on our campuses. And you can start to hear around the words around diversity, equity, and inclusion are words people are saying a lot. Diversity is the mix of folks. Inclusion is the how. How do we make that diversity of folks work? Okay, and that's what we need to get to on our teams. And to do that, we need to create those safe spaces to have those conversations. Here are some resources you guys can look at. The New Jim Crow is a really, really, really good book. It talks about power and privilege. TED Talks, lots of things on the web for you. The Intercultural Development Inventory is something you can see me later about. It actually measures folks' subjective culture and how people deal with difference on that subculture or sub. Spit it out, Jen. That's sub part of that culture piece that I was talking about, the definition. Do you want to say something?
So, has anyone watched the 13th Amendment? What did you think of it?
It was awesome. Very educational.
Yep. So, the PBS special, I would actually... My little thing isn't working, darn it. Okay, so the Race, the Power of Illusion, that one's like a 5-part series by PBS in like the 90s. So I would actually go look at your school library. They probably have DVDs, maybe VHS. Whoop, whoop. So... check on that. The 13th Amendment is a Netflix documentary. It's about an hour and 41 minutes long. And you have to be in a good mental space to listen and watch it. It's pretty heavy, but it's so fascinating and just, it gives you a ton of stuff. It gives you just the idea from slavery to prison pipeline, how that went. So it's really, really impressive. The Color of Wealth talks about the different races in terms of money. So how many people know about the New Deal that happened in like the 30s after, what was it? After the Depression. Okay, the New Deal, what do you know about the New Deal? Okay. And also it gave Social Security. Okay. Also it gave unions. But did you know that the people that were kept out were agricultural workers and domestic workers, which would be who? People of color. So when they made that New Deal, a lot of people didn't want black people and Hispanic people to get it. So within the New Deal, domestic workers and agricultural workers did not get Social Security, did not get retirement. So when we go back to that wealth gap, I was really happy about doing that now. That's pretty awful. Okay. So when we talk about the wealth gap down there in 1967, so it started with that New Deal. And you have retirement as a white person, and I don't have that. So that's how it gets to go. Because some of the things we talk about with wealth from white people, it goes from parents to kids. With people of color, it goes from kids to parents. So I might have $50,000, you might have $50,000, but we're going to spend it differently. Okay, so so it's a great, great book that just talks about Native Americans, it talks about Asian, it talks about black. It really gives you, oh, I got a little speedy. So it gives you a lot of great insight about money and different races. Okay, so if you need something, if you're like, I just need to give something to my team fast to start some conversation, Melody Hobson, Color Blind or Color Brave is about 14 minutes long, and it's awesome. It's an awesome, awesome TED Talks. Same thing with How to Overcome Our Biases. Great stuff. So all these, I mean, give you, they're like 20 minutes and under and give you some good insight to talk about race and videos to put on and then to say, okay, let's talk about some stuff. Okay? What about biases? What about people saying that I'm colorblind? I don't see race. Okay, but then you see a stoplight, right? You see that purple and green don't match. So you can't pick when you want to be colorblind, boo. So that's stuff that we have to think about. Okay? So when people say they're colorblind, be like, but you match. How'd you do that? Okay? So the really great stuff about colorblind versus color brave. So some really good TED Talks that are really quick, but kind of get to the point about talking about race in a very interesting way.
Questions?
Yep.
Can I ask a question?
Y'all have any questions?
I just want to also talk about that the African American History Museum has a really amazing schedule, preseason tournament in D.C. You can get your tickets, and I talk about it being like sold out, but your tickets you can do. And like Jen and I went, and it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
If you take the team, I think that's going to start conversations in a way that's not really directed to you. So if going and playing at D3 or D1 in D.C. area, taking your team for a day, it can be really beneficial.
Yeah, so the African American Museum, people don't know, if you're a nonprofit, you can get tickets the same, pretty much that same week. I have a friend who played up there. She called on Tuesday, got tickets Saturday for her team. Okay, and literally, you might have, like, I had to wait online for like 2 hours. So you better be prepared. Get your laptop out. But you can get as many tickets. I'm just saying, hypothetically, if you wanted to bring your family up there, say you're a nonprofit, give the other tickets away, but you didn't hear that from me. Okay? So, but it's worth it. We were up there from 10 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. and could have spent a legit 2 more hours in there. It's really a really in-depth, awesome museum. It's so amazing. Yes. Questions?
If you're, a federally funded Title IX school, you should be able to get to that link in 3 clicks or less. So, I don't know, do we need to talk to you to find out where it is on your website? But I had to, when I was at Gannon University before, and now I'm at the College of Worcester, but as an employee of the college,
I think for the purpose of the microphone, we're supposed to repeat comments that are being said. So she's saying that it is Title IX federal law to the gender bias and reporting system needs to be online in 3 clicks or less.
Any other questions?
So my team is and culture. Do you think that there's value in us having conversations about, like, deconstructing their whiteness?
Yes.
In order to lead yes. up to a conversation about what this might mean for other folks on campus?
Yes. So essentially, yes. Becky asked, having a white team deconstructing their whiteness. And I would say yes, times 8,000. Talking about white privilege, huge. That's huge, huge stuff. Talking about, a lot of people say, well, you have black pride, brown pride. What's wrong with white pride? Black pride's about history, culture. White pride's about skin color. Two different things. Okay? So definitely deconstructing white privilege, whiteness is huge. Because how can you, if you can't deconstruct it, how can you help other people? You know, people talk about, I'm all about fighting inequality. I'm all about fighting inequality. But there's no white privilege. How can you have inequality if there's no privilege? That just, you can't have that. So kind of understanding where your privilege comes from can help you be able to deconstruct it and then also help other people because you understand where you're at in comparison to where they're at.
And that deconstruction piece goes back to those buckets, right? There are values that we place on all of those different racial buckets. And what does that mean for different folks of different races.
It might also help them to be able to be their best selves or their
true selves. Yep, very true. What other questions?
Yeah.
I work in an all-white department for women, and when I witness like subtle racism that's happening, I know my silence is like co-signing that, but as like, you know, a newer person in that department, I don't know how to speak that kind of truth of power. And so how do you
Well, the first, do you guys have the cultural centers on campus?
We do.
Go and talk to them. Be friends with them. Because they'll give you a lot of ideas of how to fight microaggressions. If people are saying kind of covert racist stuff, and they'll be like, I'm just joking. No, you're really not. You know, and how, like, for me, I'm a little more honest and brutal with it, but I can completely understand what you're saying. And it's just maybe a point where you're saying, can you explain that to me more? Can you and make them keep fighting to explain it? Well, you said this. Can you explain it to me more? I don't understand. Can you explain it to me a little bit more? And make them have to define and talk about that thing. Make them have to think about it. You know, and just, well, that just makes me uncomfortable. Can we not talk about that? You know, I prefer if we don't, you know, use that language. And just try and do it in a soft way, especially if it's somebody that's over you. But, you know, the first thing is really like, can you explain more? Because sometimes, a lot of times people don't understand is people think they can just throw this bomb of a comment and you're going to be like, nope. But then when you say something to them and make them have to think about it, repeat it, then that's when the pressure's on them. And they're going to turn a little bit more silent. So really make them think about it. So I would just say for me, just say, can you explain that more? I know you didn't mean it in reality, but can you just explain it more? And put the fire under them. Okay?
And also be really just take care of yourself. So you can get into isolation very easily with that space. Like, if you are feeling some way, but you're not quite sure how to approach whoever is saying things, isolation is a real feeling and a real thing. So just being sure that you're taking care of yourself. We see it a lot with students and with staff. I personally have always found that it works really good with any age folks going through those three definitions first. Like just what we did today, getting people talking about what they think and how they define those three definitions, and then going into the social construct of race, that it's actually not a thing. It's like it's a thing, but it's not like a thing. I know that sounds stupid, but that gets people talking about, because they're used interchangeably. And they shouldn't always be used interchangeably. So you get people, get the definitions set first. A, create a safe space. B, get definitions set on what they are. And then start to talk about how people's experiences might differ depending on that. One-on-one conversations are really nice to have.
Yeah. So you see how comfortable you felt talking to somebody you didn't know about race? because you're one-on-one. It's not going to be the same if I'm like, okay, hey, tell me how you feel, Mr. White Guy, about race to the whole room. And you're going to be like, I'm not going to say anything. So kind of think about that with your students. They're probably not going to be comfortable if you do one-on-ones. They're going to be a lot more comfortable. And I'm always about playing the video. Like, the Melody Hobson one is like 14 minutes long. And it's a really good one because it talks about color blind and color brave. Because so many people, it seemed like in the 70s and 80s, after the Civil Rights Act was passed, people didn't want to say that they saw color. Right. So I'm colorblind. I don't see color. So that was like the huge thing that, you know, if you even see it, like, little kids will be like, why is he black? And the mom's like, no, don't do that. You know, and like shushing the kid versus being like, well, that's just his skin color. And the kid's like, okay, let me have a pop, you know, a lollipop. And, but we try and like fight any type of race conversation. But like, no, open the floodgates. Like, let's talk about it. Who, you know, if your kids, who in here thinks they're colorblind? Boop, boop, boop. And then, okay, let's play this video. Okay, so now, tell me what you think about it now. You know, do small groups, 2 and 3 groups. Now, what do you think? You know, so kind of get those type of conversations going of having, like you said, the definitions or video, so then they can start their own conversation about what they thought, but what really is. Mm-hmm. Do you have a question in the back?
Me?
Yeah.
We just got a JUCO transfer, and she's black. She's like by far one of our favorite kids, and she's so different from everyone in just terms of like born and raised in Chicago. Like, doesn't really know where dad is. We only know mom, and she's unlike any of our other girls that just are very sheltered and very privileged. And we just don't know how to like open that conversation with her. Like, do you like it? Are you
My first question is, who's the most, the closest person to her on the team or the staff? You don't need to answer that, but whoever is like that has that first initial or best relationship with her so far, and starting to have that, the start of the conversation. That's number one. It's got to be someone that she trusts fully. Secondly, being careful and cognizant that you, when you start to have conversations, if that door gets open, having her at least know that she's not speaking for her entire race. So that also happens to folks who are in different racial buckets. So I'm an entire, I don't know, I'm asking one Asian person, tell me about Asians, what do they do, what is it like? We can't do that to folks because they're not supposed to speak for the entire group of people that they were placed on in this bucket, right? It's just being very careful of that situation.
I would also say, have honest dialogue with her. Bring her in and say, hey, this is what our concern is. We love you. We are just worried that all of us being white, you know, might affect you in the sense of you're different, and we don't want you to think that your differences are because of your race, but just because of your personality. But maybe have that honest conversation. We want to make sure that you're taken care of. And so these are some resources that we've found available. These are some staff members or administrators that we know about that are black, that are Latino, that maybe if you want to reach out to them, you have that ability. But don't be afraid to have some honest dialogue. It's like, we love you, but we just want to make sure you are taken care of and you feel comfortable.
I'm going to piggyback on that because I have a Jen Fry on my team. I literally, before I left, I told her she needed to find you. So, I'll talk about that. But another thing that's the background of this girl, she's her mom's this little Jewish gender lady, her lawyer, boss. Dad's Nigerian musician. She's from San Diego. She doesn't need anybody's help.
And you brought up the good point that Jen mentioned earlier, the assumptions that are we place on these different buckets of folks, and getting away from those assumptions, deconstructing that.
So we're out of time. Here's our information, cell phone, email, write it down. If you have questions, literally, like, call, text. I don't check voicemail, so text me. But email, if you have I will be your black person that you, if you have a question, you're like, let me reach out to a black person. I'm cool with that. I'd rather help you than you don't have a question. I'll be that black friend. Okay? So here's our contact information. We will be here if you have questions afterwards. Please come and talk to us. We want to help you. We hope that this is giving you more insight to talk to your team about race. We hope it helps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.